Does everybody feel better now that they've eaten something? How to make a Filipino happy. In this last session, because we're only two sessions, so I guess we're going to get to go home early today. You don't have anything you can do with that extra hour, do you? We're looking at five ways to increase your charisma, and these will correspond with your personal inventory survey. So these are the five main headings that I discovered that sort of cover this area of charisma, and each one will have four in the category. And the first one is cultivate your mind. Cultivate your mind. And so that we have four suggestions for each one of these. And what I'm going to ask you to do at the end is I'm going to ask you to come up with three specific things that you can begin doing right now to personally develop your charisma. So as we're going down the list, be thinking about which ones are really connecting with you so you'll be prepared for the assignment. Cultivate your mind. Okay, several things that we discovered about that. Read widely and deeply. Now, we have two qualifications here for reading. Wide, which means expand the people that you read. The tendency is to, this presupposes you're actually reading. Maybe we should start there. They discovered, I don't know what the statistics are in the Philippines, but in the United States, university graduates after college read on average less than one full book a year. I don't even understand that. How you could actually live life. What would life doesn't have any meaning without books. But the good thing about that is the bar isn't very high. Do you know what I mean by that? We can definitely go beyond that. But it does presuppose here that you are reading, and I hope you are. So I'm too busy to read, then you're way too busy. Leaders are readers. And so it just presupposes if you're leading people, you're reading. And if you're reading, you're not just reading the most popular fiction that's come out or the latest simple book that everybody's reading, but there's a diversity to your reading. Expand beyond just your career interests or career responsibilities. You're reading what the other side is saying, reading people who disagree with you. I'm thinking about the current books that I'm reading and the people that I'm listening to. And these are all Christians, or most of them, but the Christian ones, if you got them in the room together, some of them don't even think the other ones are Christians. So about the diversity, I was just laughing if people knew the kind of people I listen to. Did something just happen? And read, very diverse. This helps to cultivate your mind. When you're just not reading the same authors or the same kind of thing, but something that's challenging, something you don't even agree with, something that differs from you. Read widely and then read deeply. So, Tristan, question, comment?
What kind of books do you read or recommend?
You'll send me an email, I'll send you, I have a recommended list. So if you send me an email, I'll send it to you.
Pastor Pauly, but sometimes we tend to just start reading spiritual books. I mean, inspirational, and then we become so narrow-minded.
Yeah.
So for outside books, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's good to read, or do we need to at all? That's one of my concerns.
Yeah, my reading is diverse. In my library, you would find everything from very large 1,000-page theological tomes all the way down to comic books. I got a vast collection of comic books at home in the States, and I'm an avid comic book reader. So, and just about everything in between. Miss my comic books. Read widely and deeply. In other words, John Piper recommends you find one author and master that author. Just read everything. And I like that. There's a couple of people that I've done that. One is a secular author named Paul Johnson, who's an English historian. And I've read all of his writings. And the spiritual writer is Charles Spurgeon, who actually, it's quite a task, because Charles Spurgeon is the most prolific writer in the history of the church. His writings encompass more pages than any Christian person who's ever written in 2,000 years. So I'll never accomplish that. But I read Charles Spurgeon's sermons as a part of my daily devotion. And that's read widely and read deeply. Okay? Number two, fellowship with intelligent and articulate people.
That I do.
Fellowship with intelligent and articulate people. Now that presupposes you know any.
Number five, don't you? I fellowship with intelligent people.
Spend time with people who are smarter than you are.
Right.
And who are more articulate.
Right.
One of the things I enjoy doing when I'm in the States is we have a regular meeting. There's a restaurant in downtown Nashville called the Flying Saucer. And my friend Stephen Mansfield and Bruce Fiddler. I don't know if you know Pastor Bruce. Those are two of the smartest people I know.
Bruce Fiddler.
And we try to meet down there on Friday afternoons. And we just solve all the world's problems. Or all the every nation world's problems, at least. If everyone would just listen to us, it'd be a better world.
Ooh, lack of confidence.
That's a problem with intelligent people. They think they know better. Now, when I get in that group, I'm the lightweight. Mm-hmm. I come to that meeting with questions already. I've written down questions I want to ask. And I can fake it for a while. Matter of fact, I've made my goal in life to learn enough about every topic to fake somebody out for 10 minutes. That's my main goal. So no matter what you're into, I got about 10 minutes worth of knowledge about that. You might think I know something for about 10 minutes. If the conversation goes 11 minutes, I'm exposed. That's a total fraud. But it takes about 10 minutes to get into, to use that as a springboard into talking about the gospel or something. So I like to hang out. Meeting challenges me as I get around people who are just so smart and so articulate and able to communicate what they think and know. So it's a great challenging meeting for me. Fellowship with intelligent and articulate people. Number three, continue your educational and professional development. Sometimes people ask me what my training is and what I do, and I have no training. I have a university degree in art. I drew pictures in college. That's what I did. But I'm an autodidact, which is a fancy word for self-taught. So my college education never ended. I'm always in the process of improving, learning something new, trying to master something. I tweeted when I put my wife on the plane last Saturday. I'm 2 weeks without her, which is kind of sad, but the consolation, I had a new thick book and a new course to write for 2013. So that cut me interested. So there's a whole area of redemption history that I don't know anything about, and I've got new big thick books. I love really fat books that have more footnotes per page than actual text. This makes me drool. So I'm always continuing my educational and professional development. Are you in your career field?
Nope.
Maybe that's actual training, going to school, taking various different night courses or various different things like that. Or if you're self-disciplined, often your own course is better than even university training, especially if you don't need the certificate. I asked someone who was getting his PhD in theology many, many years ago if I should get advanced degrees in theology, and he asked me why. I said, well, I want to know stuff. Said, if you just want to know stuff, you're better off not going to university, not getting the training, because you'll have to read and study things that have no value whatsoever. Most of the information will be of no value. So you only go if you need the paper, the diploma, for credibility and for whatever your calling is, or if you're not disciplined enough to follow the courses yourself. So for me, it's always been better to just be self-trained. But if you need the credentials for what God's called you to do, or if you're not very self-motivated, you might need to put yourself in the straitjacket of a program to force you to learn. Continue education and professional development. And I think this is the most important one, improve your vocabulary. I spent my life improving my vocabulary and researching and studying what vocabulary improvement does. And it's fascinating. There have been many major clinical studies about vocabulary. Longitudinal studies which examine the benefits of vocabulary development over a 30, 40 year period. Extensive studies. And the findings are just undeniable, totally conclusive, of the value of vocabulary development. One of the most interesting ones, and if this doesn't interest you, then I don't know what else will. There is a clear correlation between vocabulary development and income. It's a direct correlation, undeniable. Too many studies that confirm people who know the most words make the most money. And if you want to make more money, one of the best ways is to improve your vocabulary. Now, I mean, that's the best I got, okay? I got other things, but put cash in your pocket by improving your vocabulary. Plus all the other things we could get into, sharpens your communication, opens your mind, so many different values. I always tell communicators, the single best thing you can do to improve your communication is increase your vocabulary. Some people think, but I don't want to use words that people don't know. That's not why you increase your vocabulary. Most of the words you never use in public is people just look at you. But the development of words, first of all, words carry ideas and thoughts. And you'll be limited at how much you can think by the vocabulary that you have. Words are containers of ideas. And as you get new words, you get new ideas and a greater capacity to learn and understand. And it clarifies concepts and thoughts so that you can communicate them clearly. If someone would ask me what's the number one key over the 34 years of vocational ministry when I've been doing public speaking that's aided my communication ability, I say unequivocally, vocabulary improvement will cause you to communicate clearly and articulately. And one of the things that I discovered in all my research of charisma, in every single secular study of charisma always mentioned at a high level communication. The ability to communicate is one of the major components of charisma. And vocabulary improvement will do it. So, number two, next category. That category was cultivate your mind. Now, improve your attitude. Improve your attitude. express enthusiasm for people and projects. It's amazing what doing this will do for your leadership skills and abilities, and increase your ability to influence people. Actually expressing enthusiasm for projects that they're working on, getting excited about it with them, will influence them. And these are things you just train yourself to do, right? So you just make a little note to yourself. Note to self. Express enthusiasm today for people and projects. And some of these things I think are like, well, learning to drive. Or learning to drive maybe a manual transmission. Now, in the States, almost all cars are automatic transmission. And so learning to drive is a much easier process. All of my children, many people in the United States can't even drive cars that have manual transmission, stick shift. They don't even know how to do it. All of my children had cars at different times that had manual transmission, so they had to learn. And, you know, it's there's a lot of things to think about at the same time, right? So, especially when you get on a hill, right? In traffic. And you got to push that in, let that out while you're doing this. A lot of things to think about, and you don't always get them in the right order, right? And then your car dies, and then everybody's honking. Especially here, because in the Philippines, we don't just have honking. We have angry honking. See, I finally figured out, you're the nicest people in the world. The reason why is you get everything out in the car. Angry horns, right? Now, in the States, generally, now different in some of the larger cities, but we have nice horns. So if someone's at a stoplight and it's turned and he doesn't know it, you just tap and it gives a little beep. Just a little squeak sound, and that's all. If you lean on it, it's considered extremely rude. But I know you don't understand what I'm talking about here. So you have to think about driving the car, right? But then it becomes second nature. You never even think about it. You know, you're driving, maybe you're texting. Don't do that, but I spoke in Los Baños 2 Sundays ago, and the person that picked me up, we're driving there, and he's texting. So now, that's crazy, okay? It's crazy to text while you're driving in the U.S., but don't drive in these streets. Okay, that's just suicide. That's a death wish. But you understand the point I'm making is it becomes second nature. And some of these things, they start out, they seem a little artificial. But that's okay. As you do them, eventually, they just become second nature. You're not even thinking about it. You're just doing it. Second thing, exude confidence. And then this is a challenge. One of the hardest things in the world for me to do is to meet new people. I am by nature an introvert. I am very happy to be alone in a library for 2 or 3 days. I need people about every third day, okay? So my wife doesn't have to worry about me 2 weeks. I leave here. I just go, I'm just in my condo. I just don't leave. I have really boring food. I eat the same thing every day. And I'm just pretty happy to be alone and to think and to read. Because I like my company. Okay? I'm pretty fascinated. And so meeting new people, like having to go somewhere where I don't know people, I have to meet new people. Gosh, I just hate that. It's just so against my nature. I have to psych myself up. So I do a little pep talk in the mirror. Get in front of that mirror and kind of, oh, rah, 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 you're going to meet people. Yeah, yeah, I love to meet people. Yeah, you love to meet people. Go and meet people, yes. You're a friendly person. Yes, I'm a friendly person. I'm going to be friendly today. Yes. I have to psych myself up because it's just daunting task to me. But, I it's a learned, it's not natural, it's not innate, but I've learned to do it, to learn to exude confidence in those settings that inside, I just think of any possible way to get out of it. All right, display a positive outlook on life. Now, for some of you, that's easy, okay? So, first of all, you're Filipino, and there's something in the water, I think. Then, of course, if you got positivity as a theme, right? I'm not that way. I think I'm a natural born pessimist. It's in my DNA. It's just, if you knew my family that I came from, it's just, that's how I lean, right? That's just my first tendency is it's not going to work. Something bad's going to happen. So this is a challenge. Display a positive outlook on life. Again, it might be something you just have to train yourself to do. And then express a strong purpose and clear vision. Know what you're called to do and communicate it to others. All right, number three, expand your achievements. Expand your achievements. Discover the gifts God has given you and use them. One of the things that's been the most helpful for me is the Strength Finder. I attended a presentation in 2006, and I was about to turn 50, and my life was changed significantly. And then through subsequent training, I began to isolate and actually record, put in writing exactly what my superpowers are. And knowing exactly what I do better than most everybody else on the planet. Now, it's not very broad. It's very fine-tuned. I don't do a lot of things well. But there's certain things. When I'm doing that, I'm the best at that I know. Now, there's a lot of people I don't know, so there's probably people that are better. But all the people I know, nobody's close to me at that. And now, as long as I can spend most of my time doing that, I'm just guaranteed to have great success. So, often our knowledge of our gifts is vague. Like something like, I'm a good organizer. That's too vague. See, you have to fine tune it much better than that. And when you get it really fine-tuned, this is what I do. And when I'm doing that, people will pay me money to do that. When you get real specific, that's achievement, you see. And then people start wanting you. There's a demand. And you start influencing more and more people as a result of that. So, discover the gifts God has given you and use them. And it's related to the next one. Develop expertise in particular skills. This really is the era of the specialist. And to be a jack of all trade and master of none may have worked in the past, but now people are looking for specialized skills. And think through your job description of all the things that you do. What can you really master and make that your absolute specialty so that when we're talking about that, you're the one everybody calls. Develop specific skills. Set clear goals and work diligently to achieve them. Now that comes more natural for some than others. I'm not by nature a goal setter. You might be or you might not be, but clear goals. And then finally, the last one, find good role models. You become what you look at continually. Find leaders with a successful track record and learn from them. And they might be alive, they might be dead. So my main role model is Charles Spurgeon. Unfortunately, we can't have coffee together. He's been dead since 1892. But I fellowship with him on an almost daily basis. He's my role model. I want to preach like him. I want to think like him. And so I try to hang around him. I can't actually see him, but I get to hang around his writing. So find someone that you want to be like or has a skill that you want and do what you can to get around him. And I think Alex Castillo does a seminar. Has he done it for us here, or will he do it on how to find role models? Or not yet, but it's. Pardon me. Mentoring. Yeah, he has done it. Coming. Okay, good. It's great. Yeah. Develop number four. Develop your presentation. Develop your presentation. Practice positive body language and good posture. Yeah, he says as he straightens up. I hate this one. This is a constant challenge for me. I just constantly. We had a student in my School of Campus Ministry a few years ago that actually taught us how to develop good posture. And I'm 56 now. It's hard to teach an old dog new tricks, right? I just had bad posture all my life. But I'm actually always conscious when I'm walking, walk straighter. And even when I think I'm walking as straight as I can, I'll pass myself in the mirror and I look, I'm still slouching. Positive body language. Powerful stuff, body language. Dress in a way that expresses confidence and pride. Now, I'm not necessarily a great example for you on all these. Some of the things that I hate most in the world, one of them is buying clothes. Okay, I just absolutely hate buying clothes. There's some things I hate spending money on. Like I hate going out to eat and spending money on food. I know everybody looking at me like I'm from another planet, okay? I just hate that. Like that's a waste of money for me. And I hate spending money on clothes. And going to buy clothes. You see, for a mall, going to a mall for me, well, it's not quite hell. It's more like purgatory. Okay? Because you know the difference, right? Purgatory is just like hell, but you do get out. Okay, now there is no such thing as purgatory, right? Just want to make sure. Just want to clarify here. I'm using a metaphor. So mall shopping is like purgatory. It's like hell, but it will get over. You will get out. And of course, Filipino malls just raise that to a new level, okay? I'm sorry. A Filipino mall on a regular day is like an American mall the last day before Christmas. Yeah, yeah. And then weekend, especially payday weekends at the mall. It's like 4 million tiny brown people and me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And you know, when I go to the mall, I have somewhere to go. And I want to get there. But for Filipinos, it's not the mall, it's the park indoors. Right? They have nowhere to go. They're just wandering. And so it's real casual. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm venting now. Oh, my Lord. So for me with shopping, I wear Eddie Bauer dress shirts that I get online, and I wear Levi 501 jeans. So that's all that's in my wardrobe. So I got the same, just different, slightly different color jeans and slightly different color shirts. But it's real simple, honey. I need more Eddie Bauer shirts. I need more Levi jeans. Thank you. So I'm not a great example at this. It's real simple for me. Next one, display a genuine smile often. Now, I can't tell you the power of a smile. It's amazing how you can influence people and get stuff done and avoid a lot of hassles through smile. I practice smiling. You really should practice and become a good smiler who does it a lot. Consciously smiling. People just want to do nice things for you. They want to help you when you show a genuine smile. And I'm going to leave on an airplane in a week from tomorrow, and that's when I really put my best. I'm concentrating because I want benefits, okay? I want you to help me. Get me out of here and up there. I want to sit up there. I want to get upgraded. And boy, I'm exuding as much dazzling personality as I can muster up. I'm concentrating, working on my smile. Hi, how's it going today? How you doing? Well, that's great, wonderful. I'm just using my smile. It's an amazing power. It's a weapon you have available. And develop a sense of humor. That comes natural for most Filipinos. We don't have to talk too much about that. Laugh at yourself, watch funny people, etc. There's a lot of them around. Oh my gosh, thank you. You know, Filipinos go to America. Okay, just you laugh at Americans, right? You should, okay? They're funny. So my wife, occasionally, you know, we laugh at Filipinos, and because Filipinos are different than Americans. What is that? Yes. Yeah, it's a good thing I'm in a good mood. Sonny, you should have gone, it's me. I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry.
Strengthen your communication, last one. Constantly improve your verbal and written communication skills. Speak confidently and with the appropriate volume. You notice when I can't hear you, when you're talking, you're mumbling a little bit, I'm always asking you, speak louder, please. Speak with volume that communicates confidence. The way you communicate will determine the kind of level of following you'll get from the people that you're managing and leading. Listen actively when others speak. Do you know how to listen actively? You're engaging, you're asking questions, you're giving eye contact, etc. Maintain eye contact when speaking and listening to other people. So we could make comments about those, but I think I've embarrassed myself enough. So let's take a few minutes now, and I want you to actually go over the list and write down three things. Three things from this list I'm going to do. And I'm going to call on a few people. So what I will challenge you the most on is how specific. So if you say something like that, like improve my vocabulary, I'm going to challenge you. I want specifics. What can I do now, specific, that I can develop my charisma? Take a few minutes, and then we'll call on you. Okay, Sarah, could you grab the microphone, stand, and tell us what's one thing you're going to do?
The first thing I put there is read widely and actively.
Okay.
I actually have a question.
Go ask the question.
We're not limited to books, right? Because I've been reading a lot of internet articles, but not books.
Yeah.
Because I like reading fiction on books, but on paper, but the other stuff I like reading online.
Yeah.
So that's fine, right?
It is reading, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But it's not a book, though.
It's written communication, yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So still, I got to expand it more.
One of the problems with internet communication, though, is it's generally thin.
Yeah, okay, right. So
it doesn't cost you anything to write. And so there's not as big of an investment involved in it. Now, of course, if they take written material that's been published and then put it on the internet, that's a little bit different. So the work you have to go through to actually print and publish something requires a lot more thought generally, and usually will last longer. So that's just one of the things to be just to be aware of if all you're reading is internet reading. Okay, go.
So I gotta expand my reading.
Yeah, that's not, you haven't been very practical for me. What does that mean? What are you going to do?
Well, I have some books in my library that I haven't finished reading, so okay. That's the first thing I'm gonna do is
but which one? See, what I'm doing to Sarah here is what I want you guys to do to yourself. Our tendency when we get a list like that is to be very vague and general and feel like I'm going to try to do something better. What I'm trying to get you to do is to be very specific.
Yeah.
Here's a behavior that's actually going to change, and I'm going to start today with something very specific. So I want you to get more specific, Sarah. So.
Okay, well, honestly, I can't remember what books are in my library, so right. I can't enumerate them right now.
Okay.
So.
But say something like, I'm going to go find one book on my shelf that I haven't finished, and I'm going to finish it. Okay. That's what I'm looking for, that kind of practical.
Okay.
And then something like, I'm going to try to read one book a month or a quarter. Or a week, or a day, or something like that.
Okay.
That kind of specificity.
Okay.
That's what I'm looking for. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you for being my guinea pig. All right? Great. I'm gonna call on, how about Laika? Is it Laika? Is that pronounced right? Laika? Grab a microphone and tell us what's your number one thing that you're gonna do. Laika?
I wrote, know the gifts God has given me and constantly use them.
Okay.
So this week I will approach my friends at work and ask them about the gifts that they usually observe in me.
Wow.
And then list them down and make a deliberate effort to find ways to develop these gifts that they will tell me.
Wow,
and
that's great.
Constantly use them.
That's fantastic. I have nothing to critique about that. Excellent. Good job.
Thank you.
I think that's the first person that's ever given me a response that was perfect. Thank you, Laika.
Thank you.
No critique of that. That was great. Let's see, I need to call Claudette. How are you? Good. What's your number one?
Number one is to display a genuine smile. Often.
A genuine smile often. Okay, great.
Yeah, because people tend to be afraid of me.
Really? You're scary, huh?
Because I don't really usually smile.
Yeah.
I when I go up to the main hall in our service, I just walk straight and my practical things that I'll do from this day is to really smile at people and learn to approach them and say give them something that will not give them something that will not put a negative thing on me.
Great. Excellent. Good job, Claudette. All right, let me hear from Lou. Come on, Lou. Woo. Excited about Lou.
I put here continually pursue education and educational and professional development.
Okay.
I intend to attend staff dev. This semester and next semester on time and study
Lou,
my material.
Lou.
I'm just kidding.
You got something else.
Yeah.
Oh, so that was that humor one, right?
Slightly
humor.
Serious. And,
okay.
And probably on the professional side, constantly studying new stuff that I need to learn in the industry.
Okay, Lou, that's a little vague for me. Studying new stuff that I need to learn.
There's a lot of tutorials in the internet that I rarely browse through because there's too much work.
Yeah.
So if
you're still not specific enough for me. So, see, I need something like, I will watch, read, study one tutorial a day for the next month, or I need something like that.
I will watch and read one tutorial a month when I'm free.
Lou, I'm not letting you off the hook. I'm about to burn you at the stake.
I'm gonna bulk of my time and work is really on the rendering part. It's on the how the machine renders to output the video.
Right.
So on those times I don't do much. So I can probably study one effect or tutorial online so I can improve my skill set.
So how often will you do that?
Probably I can watch it twice a week.
That's great. Write that down.
Right.
And hold yourself accountable. Sarah, you're in communications. You make sure he's doing that, okay? I'm going to hold you accountable.
Okay,
great. Good. Let me hear one more. Let me hear. Who do I want to hear? How about that? Kenneth. Hi, Kenneth. What are you going to do?
I'm going to improve or strengthen my communication.
You're going to do what?
Strengthen my communication.
By speaking louder?
Yes. Okay, that's one. Actually, for this month of November, it's actually one of my goals to improve my communication. And I actually look for books that can help me to improve my communication. And the one book that I will read is Sense of Style. And I've actually asked one of the Victory Group leaders in our group to be accountable and check evaluate my improvements.
Wow,
so
great. Excellent. Very good. All right. Well, that's it. We're done for the day. So isn't that nice?
Yes.
Wonderful. I'm finished. God bless us. I guess next week is our last week to the break, and it's me again.
Yes.
Right? Okay, so see you next week.